Hi, this is Felicia. You're listening to The Vegan Inquisition, a podcast where I, a vegan, share stories and talk about what life has really been like since I decided to do this almost 2 years ago. Okay, hopefully you guys like the new intro. I just felt like the podcast just needed to be a little bit more put together at the beginning because every single week I scramble to like figure out how to explain exactly what I'm doing and like what the whole purpose of this podcast is. So unless you've been listening every week, you're just kind of like, what is this girl talking about and why is she talking about it? So hopefully that makes me seem a little bit more professional. But today I am coming to you with something that has been a little rare on the podcast. I'm coming to you with a positive story. Oh, wow. Look at that. Okay. So for the most part, this podcast is focused on like sometimes, you know, the woes of living as a vegan, some of like the unfortunate interactions I've had with people who are not vegan or who don't understand what I'm doing. And then also the times that I personally have made mistakes, have had lapses in judgment, have been confused, have been questioning things. So I talk about all of that. But for the most part, it does end up leaning more towards the negative side. But today, we have a little bit of a triumph. And I want to say before I get into it that like the reason that I tend to focus on those things is because before I went vegan, and even, you know, as I was a vegan before I started to do any of like the podcast, the YouTube channel, anything, I really rarely saw any of those like weird things addressed apart from like in Instagram memes maybe, and like it was kind of more so like brushed aside as like whatever. But I didn't always feel that way about those situations, and it's like I felt like I could go anywhere for like a vegan recipe or for someone to like amp me up and like tell me like, oh no, like you're doing the right thing. But I always felt kind of like, am I a bad vegan for feeling the way that I feel right now, for feeling uncomfortable, for feeling upset, for feeling like, I don't know, I just felt like, am I also crazy because no one else seems to be experiencing any of these things? It just seems like sunshine and rainbows all the time, and like, I don't know, just kind of started to seem weird and culty to me that everywhere I turned, everyone was just smiling through everything and pretending like it wasn't happening. So I decided to just start talking about some of just the weird experiences and interactions and conversations that I've had with people. And you know, this is just my safe space to rage and vent and talk about things and just hope that somewhere out there listening, there's another vegan who connects with my confusion and annoyance and other things. Just, you know, someone else that understands. But anyways, let's get back to why we're here. I've got a story to tell you. Today we have a story of triumph, as I was saying, and it all started with pizza. I live in Canada, and Canada has slowly been becoming this like beautiful land of like just plant-based and vegan options. It has been so beautiful to watch all of these like companies and fast food restaurants pop up with like all of these things. A&W has the Beyond Burger, Tim Hortons has a Beyond Burger now, and they also have a Beyond Sausage breakfast sandwich. Mucho Burrito came out with Beyond Crumbles for their, so everyone just has Beyond Meat is what I'm saying. But Pizza Pizza recently came out with two different plant-based meats for their pizza toppings. They came out with vegan pepperoni, and they also came out with chorizo. I think the chorizo is from Field Roast, if I'm not mistaken, and then the pepperoni is from Ives. I'm upset I can't have the pepperoni because it does have soy in it and it will just destroy me from the inside out, so I'm not even gonna go there. But when I heard that these new things had been released, I'm just like, I need to try their chorizo pizza. Like, this is gonna change my life. They also have vegan cheese, and I think their cheese is this brand named Viola, and I'm like, I need to try this. But the only thing is, I wanted to order the pizza, but there's just a part of me, whenever I want to order pizza, not just in this case, but there's a part of me that just feels so disturbed by the idea of paying for it to be delivered to my house. And I know that that sounds ridiculous, but it's kind of like, it's that thing that everyone explains where it's like you're online shopping for something, you see that like this shirt or whatever is like $25, and you're ready to invest that $25 in getting this thing that you want. But then they add a shipping charge and you start to question everything. You're like, do I really need this? Do I want this? Is this going to add anything to my life? No, take it out of my cart. It's that same thing with the pizza. It's like, I'm willing to pay this amount for the pizza, but you add that delivery charge and it's just, I don't really know if I'm willing to go over that line with you. I don't know. You might lose me here, pizza. So the solution that I came up to for that was that I was just going to bring someone on this deal with me, because of course, how could anyone resist vegan cheese and vegan fake meat on a pizza, right? To me, it sounds amazing. To my sister, who I made the target of my attacks, did not sound as appealing, because this... We had variations of the same conversation over the course of, I want to say, a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. I would go up to my sister and be like, I'm really thinking of ordering a pizza. I think you should split it with me. And then I would casually remind her that, like, yeah, it has to be a vegan pizza, though. The first time that I brought this up to her, she was just like, no, I want real cheese. And then she asked me if it would be possible for her to get half real cheese and for me to get half vegan cheese. And I'm like, that's not actually a thing that happens at these places. So we're gonna have to go all in on the vegan cheese, but it's okay because it tastes good. I think it tastes good. And I didn't think that it would be like an issue or anything, because it's not like my sister is like a stranger to vegan food. She's had it pretty often. When I went through that like phase where I was obsessed with that one restaurant, Good Karma, and I was getting cauliflower rings from there like all the time, my sister was right along there with me getting her cauliflower wings like multiple times a week. She's tried the Daya mac and cheese. She's been to Apocalypse with me, which is like a vegan pizzeria downtown. And so, especially because of that Apocalypse experience, I'm thinking that it's going to be just so easy for me to just, you know, grab her by the hand and bring her into this pizza vegan experience with me that I am just so excited about. But, you know, she wasn't. And so at that point, it became a little bit of a challenge. And for the next, I would say, week and a half, I became the annoying vegan with just absolutely no remorse. And not in the way where I'm like shaming her or trying to make her feel guilty about eating meat and wanting cheese. I don't take that angle for things very often. If you have listened for a while, you know that. So that's really not what I mean when I say I became annoying. What I mean is that I just began just never leaving her alone. Like, anytime even like the thought of having pizza popped into my head, I would just kind of like slink my way over to her bedroom and be like, so I'm thinking about ordering some pizza. You want in on this? And she'd just roll her eyes and be like, are you getting real cheese? And I'd be like, no. Then she'd be like, then no. And yeah, we just had variations of that conversation for several days. And I really just wanted her to try it. And what I'm about to say next, it's not based on any real research. It's things that like I've read, things that I've heard, things that I've experienced. So I guess that is in a way real research, but I didn't do like a controlled group study where like I blindfolded people and asked them questions. That I didn't go that far. I'm not that professional, guys. I'm just a random Canadian with a podcast. Don't expect too much from me. But I've found that a lot of people, their barrier to veganism is not even so much that like they don't care about animals, because I feel like a lot of people do care about animals, and we'll talk like about that when like I'm answering a few of the questions from later. But I think a lot of people genuinely do care about animals, which is why I think that a lot of the times vegans are like, how can you say that you care about animals when you eat them? Because it's like, we know that people love animals, right? But what I find more often than not is that people have like these huge objections to even just trying vegan food. They just usually don't want to do it. It just, the thought of doing it for some people, it like, you would think that like it would kill them on the spot. For that reason, I think that like trying to break that mental barrier is like very important to just, you know, have people just be more open to trying vegan food. And I will also, though, be the very first to admit that of all the vegan products that I ever try to swing people towards trying, vegan cheese is really where I am the most reluctant. Okay, there is no there is no Beyond Meat equivalent to vegan cheese, okay? It doesn't exist. And if you told me, if you walked into my bedroom right now, looked me in the eyes and said, Felicia, I have found the best vegan cheese of vegan cheeses. This tastes exactly like cheese. If I blindfolded you, you wouldn't know the difference. You thought that I was feeding you directly from a cow's teat. I would not believe you. I wouldn't believe you. Because I, before I went vegan, I was all about cheese. Cheese was everything to me. Like, the day that someone can replicate a really good vegan cheese, game over for me, guys. I'm done. I'm stocking up. I'm buying a mini fridge in my room, and I'm never leaving. I'm just rolling over to grab a block of cheese from the fridge, leaning back over to eat it, maybe swish it back with some water, but that's really all that my life will need to be from that point, because I will have finally been experiencing true happiness. I love cheese, and because of that, it is hard for even me to try. I'm not gonna lie to anyone and say that, oh, it tastes just like the real thing. It doesn't, okay? It doesn't. And so I understand my sister's objections when she's just like, listen, like, I want real cheese. Like, I don't want to try this like weird vegan stuff. But regardless of her objections, I had to move forward with my mission because I have priorities. I need to have my pizza. Every single time, like I said, I decided that I wanted to have some pizza, I would just walk into her room. Well, not walk into her room, more so stand at the doorway. But, you know, every time I saw her, I would try to like propose like new terms of a contract. So I'd be like, okay, how about this? We order a pizza, but you can order whatever you want on your half, but the cheese has to be vegan. She's not going for it. I'm like, okay, how about this then? We order a pizza and I pay for 75% of it and you pay for the other 25%, but you still get half. Still nothing. She's not doing it. I think on the last day, I sent her a DM. I was on the Pizza Pizza website looking at it, longing after their pizza. And all this while, you're just like, Felicia, just order your own pizza. And yes, you know, my sister also brought that up to me several times that I could just order it on my own. But like I was saying, for whatever reason, that $3.75 for delivery was just, that was a strong mental barrier for me. And I just couldn't figure out how to get over it. So there we were. And I DM'd her a link to like the Pizza Pizza page that was talking about their pizza. And I'm just like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to order the pizza, but you only pay for delivery. I will pay for everything else, but everything on the pizza has to be vegan, but I will pay for every single thing except for delivery, and we'll split it half and half. And her response to that was, I want real cheese. And that was it. So I'm just like, oh my God, like, I don't know what else to say. Like, at this point, I have I've said everything all but I'll order the entire pizza and just let you have as many slices as you want. But then, maybe like 15 minutes after I sent her the DM, I feel a presence. I feel a presence in my doorway. And I look up to see my sister, and she's kind of avoiding eye contact a little bit. She seems a little bit nervous, a little bit unsure, you know? She looks at me and she kind of mumbles. She's like, you keep talking about pizza. Now I kind of want pizza. And I realize that this is my moment. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so close. So I launch into a speech. I'm just like, yeah, you should just order the pizza with me. Like, I'll pay for everything. You just have to pay for delivery. That's like $3.75. I pull up the website. I'm showing it to her. I'm just like, I've already had like the cheese. I've already had like the pizza from Pizza Pizza. And if it was nasty, like, I would let you know. If it was nasty, I wouldn't even order it. I can't remember exactly how this came up, but as a part of the speech, I threw Daya under the bus a little bit. And what I want to say is that I love Daya, honestly. They have some amazing products. I love their mac and cheese. I've done mukbangs with their mac and cheese. I've talked about it several times. I love their cheesecake. I've also had their cheesecake on like vlogs and stuff before. Like, I love so many Daya products. I've never tried their yogurt, but I am planning on getting there eventually. But yeah, their mac and cheese, their cheesecake, they also have burritos that they sell that I've been really wanting to try, although they are like very pricey. But you know, a lot of the things that Daya sell, I think, actually taste really good. Their cutting board collection cheese, oh my God, That is really good. That I love. But whatever version of cheese that they had before the cutting board collection, the original, that is something that I cannot in good conscience recommend to a vegan, let alone a non-vegan. I can't pretend as though it tastes like cheese or acts like cheese. It's something that I would like eat and like mix into things, but it's not something that I ever wanted to taste too much of, you know? It's like I'll add like a little sprinkle here and there just to get like a feel of the experience, but I'm never eating like the day of cheese to have real cheese. Their cutting board collection cheese, though, I will say is it's like a whole different formula. It actually tastes really good compared to the original one. So if you ever have the chance to try it, I'm just going to say that it tastes pretty good. But I was saying, like, in my, you know, trying to convince my sister to get the pizza, I'm just like, listen, like, it's not, like, day of cheese or something like that. And she looks at me, like, so confused, and she's just like, what? Then what is it? And I'm like, what do you mean, what is it? And she's just like, I thought day of cheese was the only cheese. In those moments, do you realize just really how wrapped up in your own vegan bubble you really are? Because in my mind, this, I'm trying to convince her, like, just try this pizza. It's so good. In her mind, she's thinking, listen, I've had day of cheese before. It wasn't the best. I don't know if I want to put myself through that again. And so her concern is not vegan cheese. Her concern is day of cheese. Listen, not everyone is living in the same kind of like vegan bubble that I'm living in. Not everyone knows the things that I know. Not everyone is familiar with the things that I'm familiar with. Not everyone has tried the same amounts of things that I have or is aware of all of these things. You know, yeah, that was just kind of like even a moment for me within all of this that I was just like, oh my gosh, I need to teach my family. I'm doing a horrible job, clearly. But we ended up getting the pizza. My plan worked. She paid for the delivery. We got a regular pizza with vegan cheese, chorizo, pineapple. She got barbecue sauce on her half. And then we got some, what was it, like lemon garlic, that like free seasoning or whatever. The pizza came and I towered over her as she took her first bite. She took so long to tell me what she thought about it. She took like, it was like one of those moments that just felt like forever because I'm like, this has been like 2 weeks of work that I've put into this moment, but she liked it. She's like, it's actually pretty good. You know, maybe one day I'm hoping that it won't take me 2 weeks to convince someone to order a pizza with me, but I'll take it as a win that now I know that it'll be easier for me to go to my sister at least and be like, hey, do you want to order a pizza? Because I'm hoping that that kind of like lessened the fear. But I'm really glad that she eventually, I was going to say that she eventually had an open mind, but I'm glad that I was eventually able to break her down into submission and force her to have this vegan cheese pizza. But she liked it. So obviously that was a win-win for both of us, right? Okay, so let's move on to Phoebe's Corner, which for those of you that don't know is basically just where I read the questions and stories that you guys send me. If you'd like to have your own question or story read aloud on the show, then you can always email theveganinquisitionpodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to FeliciaFaulkner.com/podcast and fill out the little thing there. Either way, it'll get to me. Either way, you'll hear your name on the podcast, and let's get into it. So we have two questions this week, and surprisingly, one of them is not from Phoebe. So we're going to start off with Phoebe's question just for the sake of tradition. Okay, so first in her email, she was saying that like, I was really only half joking about it being personal assault when non-vegans share their food pics. It's just how I feel sometimes living in a meat-eating world, like when people take pics holding up the fish they caught or animals that they hunted. And this was kind of interesting to me to read because it's like I knew that she was joking, right? I think I even tried to like mention it in the podcast and I knew that that's not like what she meant, that she was looking at it. You know, I picked up on that. Phoebe's very chill. So it's interesting because even reading that, like looking at someone posting like a food picture and then seeing someone like holding up like the limp body of like a lion or something that they shot down, to me, those evoke completely different emotions. Like even reading it, I'm literally like disgusted at the idea of seeing someone holding up just like a dead animal as like this prize that they one somehow. I think it's disgusting. But then just seeing someone eat a hamburger, to me, it doesn't evoke that same reaction. And I can't remember if it was in the podcast or if it was somewhere else that I was talking about how I feel like just honestly, naturally, you just become desensitized to those types of things. Living in a meat-eating world, you just become very desensitized to those things. I can look at someone eating meat. I can look at raw flesh. I can walk in like the aisles of like the grocery store and see like a chicken breast or like a full turkey and not feel a sick feeling in my stomach in the way that I would if I see like most people, I think, feel when they see like a secret recording from like a dairy farm or something, or when they see someone like holding up, like I was saying, like a dead animal that they just shot down with like this stupid grin on their face, like they did something great. And it's weird how those evoke completely different emotions, but they are very similar in a lot of ways, right? But certain sights of animal cruelty really like deeply offend me and make me really uncomfortable and like upset, whereas others that are more normalized forms of cruelty don't really speak to me in that same way because I grew up seeing them, because I grew up thinking that it was normal. So it's hard to rewire my mind to be like, oh, this is so abnormal. But that doesn't stop me from obviously not participating in doing those things. I'm still not doing them, but I'm never going to pretend to be like, I'm shocked to see this happen. You know what I mean? But anyways, that's not even what Phoebe's question was. I just went off on a tangent. But anyways, her question is, what's your opinion on the new state laws in the U.S. trying to forbid companies from labeling their vegan foods as milk or meat? Personally, I think it reeks of desperation and corruption. And I actually have some thoughts on this. So as I was like reading more into this and researching this, I found that this is actually also happening in Canada. There's this creamery called the Blue Heron Creamery in Vancouver, and they're no longer allowed to sell, like, they're no longer allowed to call their products cheese. They sell like yogurt cheese and like other stuff. And it's like, yeah, the Canadian Food Agency, whatever, they're not letting them call their food cheese anymore. And it's something that's also happening in the States. It's something that has already happened in France, where they've banned nouns that are now reserved for food animal products because they're claiming that it is confusing to consumers and that people need to know what they're eating, which I agree with Phoebe. I think it is like kind of just like thinly veiled desperation and corruption more so than a genuine concern for consumers knowing what is in their food, especially because in the case of the Blue Heron Creamery, okay, I found one article that said the opposite, but literally every single other article that I read said this, so I'm gonna take this as truth. It was saying that even in the case of this creamery, where they're no longer allowed to call their vegan cheese, the creamery was basically just like, okay, well, how about we reach kind of like a compromise and just we identify it as 100% dairy-free plant-based cheese, and they were still denied, which doesn't really make sense because if the point is clarity and you want to make sure that like, oh, people know what they're eating, if I say this is cheese and I'm letting you know it has no dairy and it's plant-based, I think that that's really clear that you understand the concept of what I'm selling, but you also understand what's actually inside of it. And if you have questions, read the label. I don't think that it's that, like, you know, but I graduated very, very recently. And in my degree, it's like a social science degree, right? And in it, we talk a lot about like power dynamics in society. And this is like, it's like classic. Power is reproduced in two different ways in society. You can either have power by force, by physically forcing people to do things for you, either by like intimidating them or by using an army, if you have access to an army, to literally force people to do things. Or you can manipulate people into doing what you want them to do by changing the way that they look at the world and changing the way that they interpret things and basically changing what things mean to them. And I think that this is kind of like, it's like a symbolic power grab of these industries to be like, listen, we see you and we're just letting you know this is not happening. This is our industry. We are not going to be threatened by you. We are not going to be thrown around by your vegan products. You are not meat. You are not cheese. this is our turf, essentially. It's like a very political turf war, which is essentially what power dynamics, as they like fluctuate, it's just kind of what it is. It's two different sides grasping for power, and that's essentially what is happening right now. So I don't really see how it would be confusing to most people, to anyone really, to see, hey, this is 100% dairy-free plant-based cheese, or to see, hey, this is a plant-based burger. I don't see how that would be confusing to anyone. And so another article mentioned that it's weird how it's like, why can't the definition of cheese change? Why can't it be expanded? Which I also agree with, is that words, their meaning changes over time as culture changes. And I think right now we're experiencing this really big culture shift, particularly in, you know, North America, or like the more Western side of the world, where people are just like, hey, let's be more plant-based and like more vegan and all this stuff. And I think that there is room for those changes to happen. But like I said, it's how power works. Like it's expected. I would be shocked if the meat and dairy industry did not have any retaliation to the shift in the market that people are seeing right now, or to this new segment in the market that's opening up. And I was reading an article, I think it might have been by Vice, and was it by Vice? I don't know, I closed all my tabs, but I did write it down. but they were saying how there's so much irony in the animal agriculture industry calling for a transparency in food labeling, when they're always, or they're so often misrepresenting the lives of the animals that they're selling, to try to represent like dairy cows and stuff as being so happy, and chickens as being like free range and running around the farm playing with like little kids that live there. And it's like, that's not what their lives really are, but that's what you're selling to people. That's what you're making, that's what you're tricking people into thinking that they're buying. So how can you, you know, be calling for this transparency all of a sudden? It's so important. It's a little bit different, but I see what they're saying, and I completely agree that I don't think that it's coming from, I think the point essentially is that like, this is not coming from a genuine place. And I don't think that it's coming from a genuine place or a concern for consumers either. But it's interesting because Phoebe's question actually, I feel like in a way, ties into Laura's question. And Laura sent in, I'm going to read out the email, because otherwise I don't think that the question really doesn't make sense without the full context. And I'm trying to improve also my reading on the podcast, because I feel like whenever I try to read out loud, I sound like an idiot. So this will be practice. So I'll start from here. I figured I'd submit a question for you so you won't have to keep relying on Phoebe. Which I thought was funny, but moving on. I live in Alberta, and the beef industry is obviously pretty big around here. Now that plant-based foods are becoming more and more popular across Canada, and with the overhaul of our food guide to include more plant-based foods, news articles out here often focus on beef farmers and their fear that people will suddenly stop supporting their products. I don't support eating beef for ethical reasons myself, but I'll admit to having difficult feelings regarding how these farmers might be struggling with losing their income, and can empathize with their plight. It doesn't feel right to just say, well, guess they should just get new jobs, because that doesn't take, well, anything about their individual situation into consideration. I guess what I'm saying is that I struggle with wanting to do the right thing by all humans and animals, you know? What are your thoughts on this? I'm not suggesting we start eating more beef or anything, but what would you say to a farmer if they questioned you on why you support industries that directly compete with them? What would you say if they questioned the healthiness of a product like Beyond Meat versus real meat? And I think that this is such a difficult question to answer, and it is something that I've thought about a lot before, not even just like within veganism, but within other social justice movements as well. It's an awkward situation to be in when it's like, I'm trying to do the right thing, but regardless of what I do, I can see that in some way, what I'm doing is going to hurt somebody. And it's frustrating that the world just isn't built in a way where there is always a very like neatly packaged answer of what is right and what is wrong. It's usually something that's like very messy and complicated. And I want to first say that it's not something that is necessarily like unique to veganism. Obviously, the issue of like the beef farmers and like, you know, farmers specifically is something that is like a vegan issue. But even thinking about like how I was saying, how right and wrong is never, it usually is never like very neatly packaged. So to think about something like thrifting, So thrifting has like come up recently as being this like really great environmentally friendly thing that people can do instead of throwing your clothes in a landfill, just bring them to the thrift store so that they can be upcycled or so that someone else can get those clothes and wear them a few more times. And then it makes it seem like this just like very neat circle of clothes instead of, you know, moving in a straight line from like the clothing rack to the landfill, that they're moving, you know, from person to person. And it's just this never ending cycle of sustainability. But then you look more into it and you realize that it's not really always that pretty, that a lot of the clothes that go to thrift stores actually don't get sold at all. And what happens to those clothes is that they either, one, get thrown into a landfill anyways. So really all it did was it worked to like appease your guilt. But then also, clothes that aren't sold are usually like sold in bulk to other countries. Our clothes are then sold and it suppresses their own fashion industry and their own textile industry. So instead of local tailors and local seamstresses and things like that being able to make a living off of their own clothes, you know, now all of a sudden these people are going out of business and they can't make rent because a huge package of clothes just came down from America, from Goodwill. And I can sell those for like $1 a shirt instead of selling it for $30 for a shirt because it was handmade versus just coming from a thrift store in like this huge bulk package. And you don't hear about that side of thrifting talked about that often. And it's something that's a lot of the time just completely left out of the conversation. And the same with veganism, that we talk about, oh, we're doing this great thing and we're saving the animals, but we never really stop to acknowledge that, you know, people's lives are legitimately being torn apart by this, and you are threatening someone's livelihood. And it's like, you don't want to think about it in that way, because it's like, you're saving the animal, right? And it's the narrative of like, you're saving the animal from the farmer, you're saving them from the farmer. And it can become really easy to look at that person as the farmer, as opposed to John, who just grew up farming with his dad and loved it, or Patricia, who, I don't know, fell in love with the family business and decided to carry on her grandpa's legacy. And like, it loses that, like Laura was saying, that individuality and that like personhood, where you're just like really taking the time to empathize with that person and understand that their plight. And so I do think that it's important to include these people within those conversations so that they aren't left behind, and that we don't just ignore these questions that they're asking. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know what the perfect thing to do is, because like Laura was saying, it's like, I'm not going to go back to eating meat just because I think that like, oh, I want to support, I don't want someone to lose their job because of me, right? And it's hard, because it's like, it's hard to know where to stand. For me, whether it's because I personally don't know any farmers, or whether it's because I became vegan before looking into this more, for me, the path that I've chosen, what I've decided to do, I obviously think it's the right thing, right? So I'm going to keep doing it. I'm not going to stop being vegan just because I feel like the positive impacts of my actions weigh out the negative impacts. But I also don't want to sit here and pretend as though those negative impacts should be ignored. I really don't think that it's fair for someone to lose their job and to just then be left kind of squandering, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to go. And so I think that it's the job of the government to figure these things out. And that what's unfortunate is that a lot of the time what happens is that like it just becomes like us bickering back and forth with each other, as opposed to the government stepping in and saying, here's how we're going to deal with this, because that is essentially what a government is supposed to be doing, right? So even in the case of like this war between the animal agriculture industry and like this up and coming vegan industry, I think a lot of us understand that that's rooted in a fear of them not wanting their industry that is supporting them and their families to go down. Not because they're evil people who want animals to die, but because it's their livelihood. And it's what they use to support themselves and their families. And I think that that's something that the government, it is a responsibility of the government to address. Like I said, there are just some things that are too much for a random from Canada sitting in front of a microphone to have the answers to, but I think that it's important to not shove these things to the side and to pretend as though it's not a part of what veganism is, because the road to, if you look at the road to social justice or the road to getting to a good place or a better place in society, it's never clean cut. It's never easy. It's never a straight walk from like here to there. It's always kind of like messy and jumbled and frightening and confusing. And that's just the progression of history. I don't know. At the end of the day, there's always going to be a better thing to do. But what that better thing is completely subjective. It's going to depend on like who you are as a person, on what side you stand. Obviously, for me, the better thing to do would be to be vegan. And that's what I would tell anyone, right? Is like, that's what I'm advocating for. Obviously, it's like, hey, like you should go vegan. But for someone who's directly impacted by this, the better thing to do, obviously, is to support local farmers, to make sure these people don't go out of business and all of these things. But I don't know. Oftentimes, I feel like when I'm talking about these things, I say that I understand both sides. And this is another one of those things where I do understand both sides. And I think that it's important to do that. It's important to understand both sides and to see where people are coming from. Even when Laura says things like, what do you say if they question you about this? What do you say when they ask you why you're supporting someone that's directly competing with them, that's directly competing with their ability to sustain themselves, to live a comfortable life? That's a hard question to answer for someone, right? But I guess simply my answer is that I think that it's, in the grand scheme of things, the better thing to do. I'm more of like a consequentialist, where like I choose actions based on what I think will lead to the better outcome. And yeah, that's really my thoughts on that. I don't really know what else to say. I feel like this is one of those questions where I, like I've been saying, it's just very messy and complicated. This is even my answer, messy and complicated. But yeah, I just don't perfectly know what to say. But I hope that you guys at least kind of understand my thoughts. I've been talking for quite some time, so I'm probably just gonna wrap it up now, but I wanted to thank you guys so much for listening if you've made it this far. And after subscribing, don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It's something that will help, you know, grow our little community week after week. And as usual, I can't wait to talk to you until next Thursday, but until then, don't let anyone get in the way of you and vegan pizza. Not even if it takes 2 weeks, okay? Just keep going. Bye.